Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Dr. Christiane Roll, Associate Professor of Musical Theater and Coordinator of the BFA Musical Theater Program at Florida Southern College. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to speak with you today.
So we want to get to know the person before the program always. So first, I want to ask you some questions about you.
Sure.
If you could just give us a little bit about your background, your history and career that led you up to your time in your current position.
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up in a household where my mother was a voice teacher. She was a private voice teacher in a studio attached to our house. So I grew up listening to student after student singing musical theater tunes. And the story goes that I would come and say, I want a lesson. And so I'd put some fake money on the piano and then my mom would give me a lesson. So I have just grown up around singing, around musical theater singing in particular. My whole family sings. So, and again, growing up, it really wasn't a matter of, are you going to do this? It was just expected through that you're going to sing. And I loved it though. So that was okay. So growing up, probably like many of, you know, our current high school students that perhaps are listening to this, did high school musicals, community theater, all of that, and just loved it. And so back in my day, there weren't as many musical theater programs as there are right now. It wasn't as much of a choice, I think. And luckily enough, I did get into New York University. At the time, it was the CAP 21 program that was associated with their TIFF School of the Arts, and studied musical theater there and absolutely loved it. Loved my teachers, loved my colleagues, loved everything. And certainly wanted to be a performer. Again, just like I'm sure many of the people listening wanted to be a performer, still want to be a performer, obviously. But during that time, I could play the piano. And so if my friends were assigned a scene or a song, we would go down to the practice rooms. They'd be like, can you play this for me? And so I'd play the piano for them and we'd practice. And I really, really loved it. I truly loved it. And it reminded me of my mom, like playing the piano for singers. So that was just a nice experience in college. As soon as I graduated from college, literally the day I graduated, I got cast as a singer for Norwegian Cruise Lines and sang around the world. Loved that experience. Met my husband doing that. Came back to New York and started auditioning the way we do. Got my equity card, worked in regional theaters, but also sort of had that teaching, that pull to teach a little bit. So I went back to Columbia, got my master's degree in music education, but really wanted to teach at the college level. And thankfully, I got hired as a professor to teach music and theater, sort of musical theater, eventually at Emory and Henry College, a fantastic college in Southwest Virginia, and went back and got my doctorate at Columbia as well, to really research how to teach the female belt voice, to really understand how to do that in a healthy way and how to teach that. And then 10 years ago, got this opportunity to teach at Florida Southern College. So that is how I got here. And I love teaching,
Another testament to why all musical theater students should study piano as well. I mean,
yes.
What a better testament to that. So in your role at Florida Southern, what degree or degrees do you oversee within the program?
Absolutely. So we have a BFA in musical theater. So that is what I'm working with primarily. However, because our department is very collaborative, as I'm sure many programs are, I do work with students who are in our BA theater track. I work with students who are in our BFA performance track. But truly the ones that I'm in a sense as in charge of is the BFA musical theater students.
And that question comes up to me quite a bit. So I'm going to ask that. Your BFA performance track, how is that different than your BFA musical theater track?
That's a great question. So it still requires an audition. It still requires a pre-screen, just like our musical theater track. But those students are not required to take as many voice lessons. They take 4 semesters of voice instead of 8 semesters. There's no singing component or dance component to the audition process. It's purely monologues. And then the curriculum is different. They don't take dance classes. They don't have to take our musical theater performance classes. So they're taking mostly just the acting classes and some more theater history requirements.
Mm-hmm. I think the confusion just comes from it not being called the BFA acting.
Yes.
And that's kind of what it is, or what you should think. It's more of an acting centric track.
But that's exactly right.
We are here to talk about the BFA musical theater program today. So this is where I put my guests on the spot and ask you for your elevator pitch. 60 seconds or less. Why should students be considering Florida Southern for BFA musical theater?
Oh my goodness. Does the clock, has it started? Has the clock started?
There's no clock. There's no clock.
So there's several things. First of all, I love my program. So that's not a reason, but I do love my program very much. I love my students very much. So in the BFA program, you're having this BFA education, or we wouldn't be able to call it a BFA. So it's a very, very intensive study in acting, singing, and dance. We are very well-rounded. We're not featuring one area more than the other. It's a very balanced curriculum in terms of that. I would say two other things that are fantastic about the program is that the program is small and we really do know our students. And again, I know a lot of programs are like that as well, but we know our students and we are not looking for a certain number or a certain type. We take you for who you are and we train you for who you are. Where your voice is, that's where we're working with you. How you see your career, that's where we're working with you. We're not trying to fit you into a certain mold. So specifically vocally, whatever you're coming in with, it's not like everybody starts with head voice their freshman year or rock pop their freshman year. If you come in with this amazing rock pop voice, that's awesome. I'm going to start then developing your head voice. So we're going to find what you do well and then try to help you in the areas that you're not as strong in. And every student's different in that way. So it really is an individualized education. Mm-hmm. All of our professors are working in the business. So this summer I was in an equity production. We are not just educators. We are working in the business as professionals. And finally, if you have other interests, we are very, very much encouraging of double majors. So you're still getting this intense BFA training. But if you have another 40 credits to do in order to graduate, why not use them mindfully in some other area that you might also be interested in? So I would say 50% of our students are double majoring successfully. Wow. in 4 years.
50%. Wow. That's great. Mm-hmm. And so you wear many hats there. When do the students interact with you? Which classes do you teach? What are you responsible for?
Sure. So one of my main areas of interaction is in private voice lessons. So I really see my students mostly with those weekly private lessons. I also teach our musical theater audition course. That's an upper level class. So I see my seniors in that class. I see my freshmen in an entry level vocal technique class. It's the first semester of the freshman year to get everybody on the same page. Some students come in with great vocal background. Some kids come in with a little bit more of a dance background. So it evens the playing field in terms of understanding our anatomy, understanding the basic functions of your voice. And then I work with students in musical theater history, which is a hoot to teach. I love that class. And then of course, music direction. So I musically direct one of our main stage musicals every year. So I really work with the students really one class per year.
Wow. I know I said you wear many hats, but that's many, many hats.
Yes, it is. Oh, and also our senior showcase, our New York City senior showcase, that's mine as well. So I work with our seniors and prep them for our industry showcase. Yes.
Do you actually live at the college or do you ever go home? Okay.
I do. I have my floor can be used for napping at times. Yes.
So let's say that I am a freshman BFA musical theater student heading to Florida Southern College for my first year. Walk me through what that first year looks like for me as far as curriculum.
Sure. So our curriculum, especially the first semester, and this is set in place by our department chair who has grown this program for over 20 years and really has been a fantastic leader. The first semester for our students, whether you are acting, musical theater, BA, you're taking the same core class. You are in an acting class, acting one. You are in a stagecraft class. You understand the technical aspects and what to touch and what not to touch backstage and have an appreciation for the people who are building your sets and helping with the lighting. You are in those are the two main courses there, and then a practicum class where you're helping to build the sets and be involved with that production of our shows. Specifically then for the musical theater major, you're in a voice lesson and you are in at least one dance discipline, if not two, and then you're in the vocal technique class. And that leaves a little bit of a space for perhaps one gen ed class, so perhaps a math or an English, some sort of like more academic, not academic, but more of a general education class that you're required to take. And the spring semester is similar in that way. You're always in a dance class, a voice lesson, and some sort of acting class at least.
Are there certain years that lend themselves to being more gen ed heavy than others?
Yes. Sometimes the spring of the freshman year, because there's only one sort of performance class required, our stage movement class, that leaves a little bit more space for perhaps two gen ed classes if you wanted to do that. Students who come in with a lot of AP credits, or some of our students who come in with their associate's degree, then they have more flexibility again for perhaps that double major or a minor, or they might just choose to take extra classes that aren't required by musical theater, such as script analysis, or perhaps they're interested in costume design. Then they have more room to take those other classes that are not required for the BFA.
Great. And so then your remaining 3 years there, we don't have to go year by year, but sort of give us sort of benchmarks for the remaining 3 years.
Sure. So the sophomore year is really focused on our music theory. So you have music theory and aural skills, as well, of course, always dancing, always singing. You're in acting too, and an improv class. Improv is very, very popular on our Florida Southern campus. There was a very, very popular student-run group called Studio Box. A lot of our theater students are involved with it. So improv is something that everybody really appreciates here. And then the junior and senior year, you get a little bit more intense with musical theater. So that's when you hit musical theater scene study, audition class, theater history. You're a little bit more specific into your actual major by the upperclassmen years.
Great. And you mentioned dance. You always dance, always singing. And you said that musical theater kids have private voice every semester, all four
yes.
years.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about dance. The big question that I always get when we're looking at programs is, are you able to level out of dance? What if you're coming in with a bunch of dance experience?
Oh, yes. That's a great question. So we have several levels within our musical theater requirement. So we have jazz, modern, tap, ballet. You have to take two semesters of those disciplines at least. And then we have musical theater, jazz, and musical theater choreography. However, we also have a dance BFA program. And this has been a relatively new addition to our department. And it is such a gift to the musical theater students, because my students who come in with amazing, like advanced dance ability, they will audition for the dance BFA program. And many of my students will minor in dance. So then they are taking their dance classes with the dance majors in our dance department. And I've had several students who double major. They double major with musical theater, yes, and a BFA or a BA in dance. So all of their dance classes are at that higher dance level. So yes, if you come in with great dance ability, I highly encourage those students to consider the dance minor or the dance double major.
Wow. Does the sometimes double majoring within a performing arts department can cause a lot of conflict for performances
yes.
and things like that. It's yes. pretty seamless though to double major in dance.
It truly is. And of course, there has been a few moments with one student that, oh, we love the student for this show and we love the student for this dance concert. Of course, that does happen. But our faculty gets along very nicely. I have wonderful colleagues. And again, we're really thinking about what is the best for this student. So what is best? Is that student really needing that ensemble part here, when they could perhaps have a leading role here? We talk about that student and try to make the best choice for that student if there is any conflict where the same student might be cast in two productions. Mm-hmm. But sometimes our dance concerts do not always overlap with our theater productions. So we just a little, and it's a small campus, so they can kind of go back and forth. But we are mindful to make sure that the student is able to be successful. But no, we can work around that.
And you mentioned that you actually encourage your students to double major or minor,
yes.
and half of them do. Mm-hmm. What minors are available within the performing arts realm?
So within our department, we have the dance minor, which does require an audition. And then we have a minor in theater, which does not require an audition at all. So any of our students who are in our BFA tracks would not minor in theater. So that's for a student who perhaps is, let's say, an English major or a psychology major. So usually those are students who are not really, you know, pursuing theater at that professional level.
Great. And performance opportunities, we already touched on a little bit. We brought it up, so let's elaborate. Are all shows open to everyone on campus? Are they specific to the department?
Our auditions are open for everybody on campus. So we often have, I would say, the other major that comes to them or wants to be involved is often the music major. Our vocal performance majors, oftentimes we will see them come and audition for our shows. But the majority of the students who are auditioning are the theater students. Mm-hmm. I will say, too, that as freshmen, you are required to audition for our shows. So as freshmen, in fact, you are required to audition for every show, whether you're musical theater or performance. We do 5 shows a year. 2 of them are musicals, 3 of them are plays. And regardless of your track, you are required to audition for every show every year.
Is it, and it's one audition for the whole season?
Sometimes in our fall, we will do audition, our play, and our musical at the same time. We are coming up for our next round of auditions for our spring musical, which is Something Rotten. So that will be auditioning around Thanksgiving. And then our final play of the year, that will audition separately sometime in the spring semester. So Usually there's about 3 different audition opportunities in the department per year.
Mm-hmm. And even though it sounds like you do all the jobs there, there must be somebody else that works on faculty. Could you tell us some of the other key players that Yes. students will interact with?
Absolutely. So our department chair is Jim Beck, and he has been here, like I mentioned, for over 20 years. And he is our department chair, but also is the head of our technical program. So students work with him in stagecraft, and also if they're interested in lighting design, scenic design, he helps build our sets and designs our sets and lights. So they work with Jim a lot. My new colleague in musical theater is a wonderful professor named Dr. Wesley Morgan, and this is his second year here. And so we basically share the same load. He also teaches voice. He also musically directs. So we both really are hands-on with the musical theater students. And the interesting thing about Wesley is he is a Florida Southern alum, which is just crazy that he came back to work at the institution where he got his undergrad degree in. So he has been wonderful, and the students love working with him. And we have Paul Bowick, who's the head of our acting program, Professor Aaron LaSala, who's the head of our dance program, and Mary T. Albright, who does really everything else, costuming, improv, and helps with the costume design program.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think that, let me rephrase that question before I even ask it. I think it's a perception sometimes of at least the students that are coming through my program, that the kids who are going through programs in Central Florida, Tampa, Orlando, and everything in between, they generally end up working in theme parks or cruise ships after school is complete. Where do you see that as a trend? Do you have connections there that you set them up with that? Yeah. Or do kids also just fly the nest and go to New York?
That is a wonderful question. And I would say we have a lot of them fly the nest and go to New York. So this is going to be a long answer. So I'll try to make it interesting.
Lovely.
So many of our students, of course, want to move to New York City, as I think is a great idea. And so I will brag about one of my students who was just cast in Ohio State Murders playing opposite of Audrey McDonald. So he's making his Broadway debut this month. He's currently in the Public Theater's production of Raisin in the Sun and is leaving that to make his Broadway debut. So yes, we have students who go to New York and are very successful in shows in regional theaters. So we definitely have those students. We have a lot of students who choose to go to grad school, and I'm very proud of that decision as well, or who want to become educators. So that's fantastic. But yes, we do have a lot of students who are interested in working in cruises. They're interested in working in theme parks. And again, with my background in cruise ships, I think, great, go for it. Why not? Why
Line
not
your pockets.
Sing some great songs, see the world, meet amazing people, get a better worldview, and, you know, and yes, maybe save some money as well. So I'm extremely supportive of my students who want to perform in cruises, because if you're paying attention to what's going on in those ships, like Six was done on Norwegian Cruise Lines. If you think about the shows that are being done by Disney, they're amazing productions. So great experience for my students. So yes, we do have connections with Disney Theatricals, and we do have connections with Norwegian Cruise Lines and Celebrity Cruise Lines. But all that really means is that I bring those people or ask those people to come and talk to my students and do master classes for my students. So it's not an assured thing that they will work, but it's the idea that they get more information and that they feel comfortable with those industry members when they perform for them, that perhaps they're not meeting them for the first time. So we do. I do encourage that work as well. A lot of my students, though, who want to come here, especially if they might be from northern states like myself, the idea of working at Disney was very exciting. Being from Pennsylvania, Disney World was the place we vacationed all the time. So a lot of my northern students come here because of the proximity to Orlando and working at Disney World, or simply having an annual pass and being able to go to Disney World on the weekends. A lot of my students, that's what they, not a lot, but several of my students, they go to Disney. That's kind of cool. If you're not from here, that's really exciting, because that's nothing you didn't have growing up. So, yeah.
And we just obviously mentioned that Florida Southern is smack dab in the middle of Tampa and Orlando, in Lakeland. So talk to us a little bit about the area and the campus, and what there is to do, because students do tend to leave campus every now and then. So what does student life look like for them?
So our campus is beautiful. Our campus is always ranked, and I'm going to get this probably incorrect, but it's always ranked in the top 25 most beautiful campuses in the nation. It's a very beautiful campus. It was designed by the architect Frank Lloyd Wright. So people who like Frank Lloyd Wright or are into architecture will come and tour our campus to see the church and the different esplanades throughout the campus. So the campus is very modern looking in some portions of it, and then also very beautiful with old brick buildings and parts of it as well. So the campus itself is lovely. Lakeland is a very cool city. So I live in Tampa, so I don't get to enjoy all of the, insider info of Lakeland, but has a really cool downtown, has a really fun farmer's market. So my students enjoy going and checking those little restaurants out, and a HTO and a boba tea place. So they're always talking about that. A lot of my students do go to Busch Gardens on the weekends, or Disney or Universal. They talk about taking part in those events, going over to Tampa to Armature Works. So Lakeland is about 45 minutes from Tampa and about 45 minutes from Orlando. So the city itself has things to do, but it's also close enough that the students are venturing out. And of course, the beaches. They're going to Clearwater. They're going to St. Petersburg. But then on campus, I mean, our students are busy there too. We do rehearse every night. If you are cast in a show, we're rehearsing every night from 6:30 to 10. So our students are very busy if they are involved in the theater department. But hopefully that's what they want to be doing.
Right. So at the end of their 4 years, at Florida Southern, what tools do you provide them? I want you to talk, of course, about your showcase in New York City, but what other tools do you provide them to sort of ease the transition into being a real life professional actor?
A real life person, right?
Right.
So, of course, we do offer our industry showcase, and that has looked a little different the past few years due to the pandemic. But it is something that we prepare our seniors for those who want to be moving to New York or moving to Atlanta. So the whole senior year is really spent prepping that material, preparing them for those intensives, helping with headshots. And I don't want to say the word type, but sort of thinking about maybe their brand or how they perceive themselves or how they would like to showcase themselves to the industry, really helping them to clarify that with their audition material. So that's the majority of our work that senior year. In some of our other courses that they take that I don't teach, we do a career project, which I think is actually very helpful. Scary. I don't think I'd want to do it even now, but it makes them think about the city they think they want to move to and think exactly how much money they need. What is the average rent? What is the Wi-Fi? Do I need a car? All of these things that perhaps some students are prepared with, but I certainly wasn't. I know when I was in college, I had no clue about all of that, whether that was right or wrong. So it's a class and it's a project that asks them to research those things. So I think that helps put things in perspective in terms of jobs, in terms of finances. We also, of course, support our students going to the Southeastern Theater Conference. I'm sure a lot of other schools in this area are doing that, but as a way to audition and hopefully get that first job or get that first summer stock job or that first year-round employment the summer after their senior year. So I think one of my main, I guess, main roles in that way is that junior year I start talking to these students about that. What are you doing? What's your plan? What do you think you want to do? Are you looking at auditions? What audition websites are you looking at? Have you started doing that? And maybe they get annoyed with that. I don't know. But it's the idea that this is looking for jobs is a full-time part, especially that senior year. So really just motivating them to think about it ahead of time. And then of course we just keep in touch. I mean, my alums are constantly, in a good way, emailing me, texting me, asking for, telling me good things, maybe asking a little bit of advice. So I think that support from our colleagues, from my college colleagues, that remains. And we help them even when they graduate. That door is not closed with us trying to help them and give them guidance. And that's how I was taught. I still text my teachers from NYU. I still do that. And that was a long time ago. So that's just the relationship I had with my teachers and professors. So that's what I hope to give to my students too.
Let's transition into speaking about the audition process. So first question I always ask, do you pre-screen?
Yep. Yes, we do.
And you are, do you do the common pre-screen with everybody else? Do you have your own set?
Nope, we do the common pre-screen. Yes.
And thank you for that.
Yes.
So, students pre-screened for you. About how many pre-screens are you seeing in a year?
We're seeing, and as I mentioned a little bit briefly, the numbers have been a little bit strange, I would say, as life has been over the past 2 years. But over the past, let's say the past 2 years, our pre-screen numbers have increased a little bit, I think, because of the ease of virtual auditions, I'm assuming is the reason. So we're seeing probably 300 pre-screens right now.
And of those 300 pre-screens, how many are passing through to a live audition?
I would say approximately 100. We're seeing approximately 100 people on campus.
Great. And other than, correct me if I'm wrong, but you also do quite a recruitment tour,
We
or you
do.
have in the past. So
Yes.
when you see students on one of those recruitment auditions,
Yes.
is that their pre-screen and then you invite them to campus?
That is exactly right. So if we are seeing a student at the Florida Theater Conference or SETC or again, many, many different auditions that come up, yes, if we call you back and talk to you at that point, then you've passed this pre-screen and we ask if you'd like to come to campus and audition for us. We do offer a virtual option as well because there were some terrible things about the pandemic, but there's been some great things too. So the idea that students maybe don't have the ability to get to campus, we do offer a virtual, in a sense, callback as well.
And you're also going to be at the Florida Combines this year,
Yes, we
which
finally, yes.
we again, pandemic, we were going to be before, but and so will those be an opportunity for students to pre-screen live as well as a final audition, or do you only final
One.
audition on campus?
That would be, yes, we only final audition on campus. Yes.
Okay.
But again, if the students coming to that audition are not able to make it to the campus, then that's handled over our website or an email to me, and we will audition you over Zoom. Yeah.
Beautiful. And so when you're seeing students in their final live auditions,
Yes.
what are the qualities that you're looking for?
So this is a question that sometimes I'm sure a lot of people get. And my answer is so very, very simple, but it's very, very true. We are looking for students who can sing and act at the same time. And we are looking for students who are singing material that they can sing. And if that makes sense, that you can sing those notes. Everybody's voice has areas that need help and need development throughout your whole life as your voice continues to change. But we don't need to hear that in your audition, right? That's stuff that we'll work on in lessons. But we want to hear a song that's showcasing what you do well. If you're not a high belter, that's okay. If you're a bass, that's wonderful, right? So letting them sing songs, or hopefully that they will share songs with us that, first of all, they love and they can act, but is really showing us their voice instead of trying to, sing a song that perhaps isn't really where their voice is at that moment. That's okay. So for us, dance is not a deal breaker. So if you come in as a great dancer and your singing's not as strong, we will consider that. But if you are this amazing singer, an amazing actor, and dance is not your strength, that is not something that will deter us from acceptance. So dance is not a deal breaker.
So what you're saying is a student bringing in songs for you does not necessarily have to show the extremes of their voice in every
Yes.
selection. Gosh,
Yes.
I wonder if any of my students listening to this now have ever heard that before.
Yes. Well, also, these students, I mean, as you know, right, they are 17 or 18 years old. Their voices are amazing. And I know the quality of students who are auditioning for musical theater programs. I mean, these are little pros, right? But they are still a young voice. They are still a developing instrument. So why not show off what they do really, really well and that they're confident in versus trying to do something that maybe they can do 50% of the time or 20% of the time? That's what voice lessons are for. That's what college is for.
And for that matter, just because you're 17 years old doesn't mean you're at the same level of development
Right.
physically as another 17-year-old. Voices
Yes.
change at different times, and you
Yes.
should be showing where you are at this
Yes.
moment and trust that the people behind the table are smart
Right.
enough to know the
Right.
difference.
Absolutely.
And that's what
Yes.
I'm trying to get across to my kids so much. Because right now they're passing pre-screens and they're getting ready for the live auditions and starting to think, okay, what can I do now? And I'm always like, do what you can do as soon as you get out of bed in the morning, like, or
Right.
within a
Right.
reasonable amount of time after waking up, not something that you hit only at 9 p.m. when there's a full moon and the humidity is just right. That's not the stuff to bring to your college auditions. I'm glad to hear you
No,
say that.
especially no, of course, because again, they're sitting in a room or they don't know when they're going to sing or the acoustics are weird or the Bluetooth speaker doesn't hook up. So there's so many other things that are variable or that they have to deal with that day. So that, I mean, that's my answer. I know it is very simple, but sing something they can act and that they can actually sing and that they love to sing. I know these students are on these circuits and they're auditioning at hundreds of programs. So you have to love your audition song. So love that audition. That should be your best friend at that audition, is that audition material. So, yeah.
You mentioned something in passing earlier that I want to reiterate too, is that you said you don't have a target number for your incoming class. Is that true?
So we aim for 16. That's what we aim for. We accept 30. We will accept 30 students, approximately 30. We will not accept more than 30 students, hoping that then obviously we know people have wonderful choices and they may not choose us, although I hope they do. But so we aim for a class of 16 freshmen every year.
And that's what we've heard referred to in other episodes of the podcast as melt. You make 30 offers,
Right.
assuming historically that you're going to get that 16. But over the past few years, with everything being so crazy, there's been some schools that gambled on accepting way more and lost that gamble, and they ended up getting 30 students in. So that's never a guarantee that you're only going to have X number of spots. That's great.
That's correct. That's correct.
That's
Yes.
great.
Yes. Exactly right.
Well, tell us, my last question to all of our guests is always, tell us something that you are looking forward to.
Oh my goodness, something I'm looking forward to. Well, I'm going to tell you two things, because I've got to say this, and I need to say this. So our program is 10 years old now. I love it. I'm so proud of my students. And we were ranked in the top 25 theater programs by the Princeton Review this year. We were ranked in
Wow.
the top 25 3 years ago as well. And the rankings came out about 2 months ago, and we were ranked again in the top 25 theater programs in the nation, not just the Southeast, in the nation. So I am, again, very proud of that. I know you're supposed to be humble, but I can't. I'm so proud of that, the school and the program and the education is getting recognized, outside of the state of Florida as well. So that's one thing I guess I'm excited for is the continued growth of the program and the continued growth of my students and seeing their careers really, continue to flourish. So that's one thing. Short term, I'm excited for a production of Something Rotten. That should be a lot of fun and a big musical. And honestly, this year being able to teach my students and see them face to face again, I loved teaching over Zoom. Obviously, it had to be done, and that was a great new challenge for me as an educator. But I'm just excited to be back in my office and working with my students and playing the piano again for them in real time, honestly. So that is something I'm excited about, is just sort of being back.
And Dr. Earl, tell us if students or parents are interested in getting to find out more information about your program, what is the best way to get in touch?
Sure. So our website is sort of the easiest way. So www.flsouthern.edu. We also have a fun social media presence on Instagram. So that's FL Theater, and that's on Instagram. So our students often do takeovers. So if a student, a high school student, is wondering what it's really like, we do a lot of behind the scenes takeovers with our current students, and parents might enjoy that too to get the overall energy of the program. And then, of course, Facebook as well. If people even look at Facebook anymore, I'm not sure.
I do.
I do too. But I feel like I love Facebook, but I feel like it's Instagram or other things. So, yes, we have a great social media presence on Facebook. But then also, of course, you can email me, and my email is croll@flsouthern.edu. And I love email, so I check email a lot.
And just to clarify, the Instagram is FL Southern Theater on Instagram. Just
You know what? I should probably double check that before I give the wrong handle
I
on
checked
that.
it.
It
I
is.
looked it
You
up
checked
for you because you said FL Theater and I was like, how in the world did you get FL Theater? Like that's a big win for you. FL Southern Theater. Well, I had a really good time talking to you today, Christiane,
Yeah, you
and
too.
I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Florida Combined Auditions, and then we'll have
Yeah.
you back, I'm sure, for something else real soon.
Thank you. And thank you for doing this. This is such a wonderful resource for students and parents, because I know it seems like it's a daunting process. So this is just thank you for really helping with this audition for musical theater programs. It was a pleasure to see you and talk to you.
Oh, I love doing it. Thanks again. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.